a morning prayer for the first Sunday in Lent. I hope you can see the order of service in front of you. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Hear our voice, O Lord, according to your faithful love, according to your judgment, give us life. Blessed are you, God of compassion and mercy. To you be praise and glory forever. In the darkness of our sin, your light breaks forth like the dawn, and your healing springs up for deliverance. As we rejoice in the gift of your saving help, sustain us with your bountiful spirit, and open our lips to sing your praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Well, our song of penitence is taken from Psalm 51, and I think it would be good for us to say the words of the psalm together as an act of penitence, of bringing ourselves before God and his mercy. So we say together, have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness, according to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offences. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and righteous in your judgment. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Give me again the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with your gracious spirit. Then shall I teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners shall return to you. Deliver me from my guilt, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing of your righteousness. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
And we turn now to our psalm, Psalm 25, and we begin by saying the refrain together. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your love. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame, but let the treacherous be shamed and frustrated. Make me know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you have I hoped all the day long. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your love. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but think on me in your goodness, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore shall he teach sinners in the way. He will guide the humble in doing right and teach his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your love. Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and shall be forever. Amen.
Well, our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, beginning at verse 8. We're at the point where the flood has receded and Noah and all those with him are coming out of the ark. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our canticle this morning is the Song of Manasseh. And we say together, "Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. Lord Almighty and God of our ancestors, you who made heaven and earth in all their glory, all things tremble with awe at your presence, before your great and mighty power. Immeasurable and unsearchable is your promised mercy, for you are God Most High. You are full of compassion, long-suffering, and very merciful, and you relent at human suffering. Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. O God, according to your great goodness, you have promised forgiveness for repentance to those who have sinned against you. The sins I have committed against you are more in number than the sands of the sea. I am not worthy to look up to the height of heaven because of the multitude of my iniquities. Full of compassion and mercy and love is God, the Most High, the Almighty. And now I bend the knee of my heart before you, imploring your kindness upon me. I have sinned, O God, I have sinned, and I acknowledge my transgressions. Unworthy as I am, you will save me, according to your great mercy. For all the host of heaven sings your praise, and your glory is for ever and ever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. Full of compassion and mercy and love, is God, the Most High, the Almighty.
Well, our second reading comes from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, and it begins with Mark's brief account of the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One of the reasons I like the Gospel of Mark is that it's so short. Short and to the point. There's an urgency and an immediacy to it. The opening of Mark's Gospel begins where the Old Testament ends. There's no faffing around with birth narratives or background family trees. Mark goes straight for it. He's not interested in listing Jesus' human credentials. He points us immediately to look at Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. The Old Testament book of Malachi ends with God's promise to send a messenger to prepare people to meet God, and the Gospel of Mark begins with meeting that messenger, the new Elijah, John the Baptist. John the Baptist calls people to repent and be baptized, to get ready for the one who is to come. I like Mark's approach. It is short and to the point, with very little embellishment. It allows time to slow right down and imagine the bits that are unsaid and unexplained. It's like the joy of listening to a story or a play on the radio. You can imagine. You see the details in your mind. You imagine what the characters look like, how they dress, and the background of their lives. Well, the opening background of Mark's Gospel is the wilderness, not in the Holy Temple or the Holy City, but the wilderness. The wilderness was a powerful image. Anyone versed in the Old Testament would know that the wilderness was an important part of God's story with his people. It was the place where people like Moses and Elijah heard God's call. It was the place of a fresh start, a new beginning. God's people left the wilderness to go to the promised land. And it was the place where God formed his people into a holy nation. It was a place to which people ran to escape. And John the Baptist bases himself in the wilderness. People from Jerusalem flock to the wilderness, and Jesus goes to the wilderness to be baptized by John. It may seem strange that Jesus came to John to be baptized, answering the call to repentance. After all, he had done nothing wrong. But repentance is not just about turning away from doing something bad. Repentance is also about turning towards God. Jesus' actions demonstrate that he is completely open to God. Jesus humbles himself by standing alongside the ranks of sinners, standing along the banks of the Jordan, willing to be baptized. And when he is, Mark tells us that heaven rips open. God's voice is heard, and the Holy Spirit comes down. Heaven is torn open. There is no going back. This is a one-off unique moment, a turning point in history, a turning point in God's story. And what was the very first thing that the Spirit did after it had come down upon Jesus? Well, verse 12 tells us that the Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness, He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Well, imagine that. What a picture. The wilderness, Jesus, Satan, wild animals, and angels, all in the same place. So there we are. Jesus was already in the wilderness, and the Spirit drove him further and deeper into it. I can't imagine Jesus choosing to go to the wilderness. He didn't skip off to the wilderness without a care in the world. It wasn't part of a great outdoor adventure. The Spirit drove him, compelled him, sent him there. Jesus' battle against the powers of darkness had begun. I'm not surprised he needed compelling. I'm not surprised if he didn't want to go. And let's be honest, I wouldn't choose to go to the wilderness either. I wouldn't choose to experience sadness or danger or fear. I don't think any of us would have chosen to live through a global pandemic. None of us chooses to be ill or to lose a loved one or to be anxious or to be afraid. But these wilderness times happen. And even though we may feel afraid, isolated and alone, the Holy Spirit is with us. And it is true to say that when we are in the wilderness, God is able to teach us and shape us and redeem us and to give us resurrection life. I think 40 days is a very long time to be in the wilderness. And it can't have been an easy experience for Jesus. Although Mark says very little about Jesus' time there, you do get the sense that this was a grim and excruciating place to be. What Jesus learnt and experienced in the wilderness couldn't be done quickly. Jesus had to live through it for 40 long, hard days. And the same is often true for our own wilderness experiences. They can last a long time. They can seem relentless. And like the psalmist, we cry out, "Where are you, God? Why have you abandoned me?" But the Gospel of Mark tells us and suggests that Jesus needed to be in the wilderness. When Jesus was baptized, he rose out of the water and heard God speak, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." That was who he was. It was his identity. He was God's son, beloved and delighted over. And in some ways, that was the easy bit. But 40 days in the wilderness is a long time. And did the memory of God's voice fade? Did Jesus begin to doubt what he had heard? Did he still feel beloved after days of isolation and silence, wrestling with hunger, facing the enemy, surrounded by wild animals? In his humanity, did he begin to experience and understand that despite the horrors of deprivation and pain in the wilderness, did he begin to understand that God still loved him, that he was still beloved and delighted over? The same is true for us. We are loved and delighted over by our Father God, even if it doesn't feel like it. Even if it doesn't look like it, even if, especially if, our circumstances would suggest otherwise. And then Mark tells us there were angels. Even in the wilderness, amidst starvation and desolation, God's angels, his agents of love and care, were there too. And the truth is that even in the darkest and the most desperate situations, God is there. Help comes, and there are angels. I wonder what Jesus' angels looked like. Angels can take many forms. Would we recognize one if we saw one? So as we begin our Lenten journey, may we know the presence of Jesus. If we find ourselves in the wilderness, may we know with all of our being that we really are God's precious children, and that he delights in us and calls us beloved. And may we see angels. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you go out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Oh, you give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Well, let's turn now to prayer. In penitence and faith, let us make our prayer to the Father and ask for his mercy and grace for your holy people, that they may triumph over evil and grow in grace. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those seeking baptism and confirmation as they begin their Christian journey, that they may live by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the leaders of the nations, that you will guide them in the ways of mercy and truth. We pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the needy, that they may not be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the sick in body, mind, and spirit, remembering especially Pam, Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, David, Jennifer, Mavis, Vera, Stephen, Geraldine, Steve, Adrian, Jean, Jane, Olwyn, Alan, Rosemary, Ryan, Andrew, Morris, and Marilyn, for these and others known to us, and all who stand in need of our prayers and God's healing today, that they may know your power to heal, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the poor in spirit, for the bereaved, and those recently departed this life, remembering especially Bob Smith, Mary Walker, Mary Westmacott, Michael Lane, Betty Marshall, and others recently departed this life, and all those who we remember with thanksgiving, that they may inherit the kingdom of heaven and see you face to face, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so let us commend the world for which Christ suffered to the mercy and protection of God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And the collect for this, the first Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted, as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Christ, give us grace to grow in holiness, to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and all those we love and pray for today and always.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all, everybody, very much for joining us this morning. It's lovely to hear you, lovely to see you. And it's great to have you here. And we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yes, see you during the week, coffee morning or a Lent course, or if we're in town, wave.
Yeah.
Hope to see you soon. God bless. Have a good day. Bye-bye.